Praised be Jesus and Mary. Today we celebrate the feast of the Lord's Supper, and we're reminded not only of the institution of the Most Holy Eucharist, but also the institution of the sacred priesthood of Jesus Christ. And it was at the Last Supper that Jesus made his disciples priests when he commanded them to continue to offer the sacrifice as he had done. Do this in memory of me, he said. You know, that was a command. It wasn't a suggestion. Now, Holy Mother Church doesn't interpret many passages of Scripture, but of this particular passage, the 22nd session of the Council of Trent, Canon 2, states, "If anyone say that by the words, 'Do this in memory of me,' Christ did not constitute his apostles priests, or did not ordain that they and other priests should offer his body and blood, let them be anathema." Now, you know, we have to understand what the concept of the memorial is, because we heard the same thing in tonight's first reading from the book of Exodus. When God said to the people of Israel, "This shall be an everlasting memorial for you." The memorial that our Lord is speaking of doesn't mean in the future, remember back, but rather it means to make it real. When the Jewish people celebrate Passover, they're not remembering something that happened 3,500 years ago. They are in the Passover today. They're making it real. They're not making it happen again. They're making it happen still. And that's exactly what happens with the Eucharist. It's an everlasting memorial. It continues. The Latin makes this very clear at the dismissal when the priest says, "Ite missa est," go, the Mass is. Unfortunately, I was disappointed when the new translation didn't get that right. It's still, the Mass is ended. Well, no, it doesn't end. It's an everlasting memorial. We do not just simply remember that Jesus died for us on the cross 2,000 plus years ago, nor do we sacrifice him again. He is being sacrificed still. It's a sacrifice which has never stopped, and it never will. And when we look at what happened at the Last Supper, in the reading, the gospel reading tonight, there are a couple things that we have to consider. First of all, we hear about our Lord getting up from the supper and washing the feet of his disciples, and St. Peter objects to the Lord washing his feet, and we can't understand why. The other disciples didn't object. But according to Jewish law, not even a slave could be required to wash his master's feet, because to wash someone else's feet was considered to be beneath human dignity. No one could be forced to wash the feet of anyone according to Jewish law. And so here is the Master bending down to wash Peter's feet, the Master whom St. Peter had already profess to be God. So Peter says, absolutely not. But Jesus tells him, if you do not allow this, then you will have no part of me. Peter then says, well, then my hands and my head as well. Do it all, but I want, you know, to be part of you completely. But he didn't fully understand yet what the Lord was doing. Then when Jesus was finished, he said, what I have done, you also must do. You know, he had left them an example. Now, I just received an email the other day from an individual who, at their parish, they wash one another's hands. Everyone comes up and they wash each other's hands and dry their hands. And that way everyone gets to participate. But that's not what our Lord did. And they said, well, you know, it's kind of intimidating. It's uncomfortable for people to actually have their feet washed. And it would be humbling for the priest to wash the people's feet. And that's what our Lord wants, is humble service. You know, the only one in the Passion narratives that washed his hands was Pontius Pilate. Do you want to follow the example of Jesus, or do you want to follow the example of Pontius Pilate? And if we look more closely at what happened at the Last Supper, we'll notice that it had turned dark. You know, for us, we would say it was Thursday night. But that's not the way the Jewish people kept track of time. The day begins and ends for the Jewish people at sunset, not at midnight. Therefore, at that moment, when the sun went down on Thursday, Friday began for the Jewish people. It was dark at the Last Supper. St. John makes that point very clear. You know, at the moment that Judas received Holy Communion and Saint and entered into his heart, he went out. And St. John points out that it was dark, it was night. Not only physically in the world, but spiritually in the heart of Judas, it was dark as well. You know, in other words, it was now Friday for the Jewish people. And the Lord, at the Last Supper, had just sacrificed himself sacramentally. He had offered on Friday the sacrifice that he was going to offer physically later that day. And what happened on the cross has continued to happen every day for the last 2,000 plus years, as Jesus continues to be sacrificed on the altar, as he continues to give himself in a sacramental manner for us to be able to take and eat. Now, this is the greatest act of love that humanity has ever known. And our Lord says to us, what I have done for you, you also must do. Not that any one of us will be able to change bread and wine into ourselves in order to be consumed, but rather that we are to give ourselves entirely to him, to serve him and others as he gives himself to us. That we are to serve others as he has served us. That we are to be humble as he is humble. We are to love as we have been loved. That what takes place in the Eucharist must find its fulfillment in the way that we live, not merely when we're in chapel before the Lord, but when we're at home with family, when we are with friends, when we're among other people. You know, the charity that we receive must be lived. That's what our Lord is asking of us. To continue the sacrifice of the Mass, which is offered every day, and also to continue the sacrifice in our own individual day-to-day lives, so that what He has done, we will continue to do.